Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. Dr. Carlson Spine and Pain Clinic in Kailua. Don't live with pain. Call today. MD Restoration. Water, flood, broken pipe cleanup 24/7. Licensed and insured. Aloha Powers Honda generators and equipment. Steel, Maruyama, and closeout sale. Everything must go. Aloha Power at Sand Island and Waipahu stores. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Thank you. And I've got to put my, my traffic hat on here for just a second, everybody. Kamehameha Highway by Pounders in La'ie is closed in both directions. There's been a motor vehicle collision. As I say, use an alternate route, which means pretty much going around the entire island. So Kamehameha by Pounders is closed, MVC. And all weekend, Moalua Freeway is down two lanes. They're closed, those two lanes. Board of Water Supply is working on a 42-inch. It was a contractor, made a mistake. Got to repair this 42-inch transmission main. Fort Shafter and the Ahua exit closed, and it will be all weekend long. Until they get that done, we're going to have a partly sunny day, scattered showers on the windward side, mainly on the leeward side. It's going to be hot. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be gorgeous. Trades are 15 miles per hour, hopefully, because we want to get cooled off by them. We got a great show for you lined up. A lot of fabulous people on the show from the U.S. Open, of course, at Torrey Pines. Ron Green is with us. Steve Murphy is coming in from Kauai. He's their wingman for all things Folds of Honor, PGA Tour, Hope. And we're still doing that all weekend, all month, all year long. Barney Adams, our golf visionary, inventor, problem solver, he'll be with us. And Jeff Babineau stepping in, as well as Bob Bubka. But first, we're going to take care of the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. Brought to you by these fine sponsors. Bayview Golf Course, the best value in golf in beautiful Kaneohe. Dr. Carlson Spine and Pain Clinic in Kailua. MD Restoration, floods, broken water pipes, 24/7 cleanup, and RCM Construction for concrete spalling repairs.
Oh, all right, let's go to Torrey Pines. You just imagine this back. This is the same place where playing on a fractured leg, Tiger Woods sank a 12-foot birdie putt on the 72nd hole, forcing a playoff with Rocco Mediate. And then he defeats Mediate in 19 holes the following day to win his third U.S. Open. And, you know, just incredible. I remember seeing an interview with Rocco Mediate saying, you know, I knew it was going to go in. I mean, it was Tiger Woods. And let's bring in the man who's at Torrey Pines right now at the U.S. Open. This is Moving Day Saturday. Award-winning golf journalist, including six first place awards from Golf Writers Association of America, PGA Tour correspondent, and senior writer for Global Golf Post. It's Ron Green. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you.
Yes, it's always good to have you in the clubhouse to talk about things on site. And wow, I mean, the Richard Bland and Russell Henley. They finished yesterday. They're tied for the lead. We don't have everybody on the course yet. Let's just take a look at, you know, the zero-time winner on the PGA Tour. That would be Richard Bland. And the four-time winner on the PGA Tour, who hasn't in a while. Bland is also, after playing 478 tournaments in his career, a first-time winner when he won the British Masters just a couple weeks ago, it seems. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Fill us in,
yeah,
Ron.
Just 2 or 3 weeks ago, he won that after never winning, and then followed that with a third-place finish and suddenly found himself with a spot here at Torrey Pines. And if anybody had the ticket of Russell Henley and Richard Bland sharing the lead after 36 holes in the U.S. Open, they could have won a lot of money because nobody saw that one coming. But here we are.
Yeah, and it's really exciting. I mean, for a Hawaii, Russell Henley is special because he's a Sony Open in Hawaii champion. I think it was his first time out on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. He's sort of quietly good, and I think he's ranked 63rd in the world. You know, not a big headline kind of guy, but and probably not the guy you would have picked here at Torrey Pines, which is, you know, playing 7,600-plus yards, and I don't know that that's what you immediately think of with Russell Henley. You think of him more in a place like at Sony or Hilton Head or RSM or something like those kind of golf courses. But, I mean, he's you know, he's figured out that U.S. Open recipe that if you can make a handful of birdies and just don't make bogeys, it can put you right in the middle of everything.
So this golf course, Torrey Pines, just went through a redo by the Open Doctor, as he's called, Reese Jones. It was kind of losing its luster over the last few years. Some were saying it was a rush job. It could have been done better. But who does this favor, and what do you think of the golf course first?
Well, I think in terms of just lovely scenery, you know, really sort of stunning spots, Torrey Pines South and the adjacent North Course, I love to just walk around and you get down around the third hole and the fourth hole where the paragliders are here. It's just, you know, you sort of turn the other way and look out at the ocean more than you look turn and look at the golf course sometimes. But, you know, I think it's just it's a big, long, difficult golf course. Its charm, I guess, is in the views it gives you. But what the USGA has done well this week, I think, is the fact that you haven't heard anybody complaining. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, they know the golf course from playing the Farmers every year. Now it's grown in, thicker, rough, firmer conditions given the time of year. So, but usually one of the storylines of the U.S. Open is the player complains about this or that. I mean, we remember Phil Mickelson at Shinnecock getting frustrated with the greens and other things that have happened. None of that so far this year. It's just a hard, demanding U.S. Open course. 500 par is leading after 36 holes, and my guess is 500 par will be leading after 72 holes.
I hear because, you know, and I see in a way on television, but it doesn't show it that well, that those greens are not being watered, and they're firm, fast, and you can't grab them.
Yeah, and I think it's only going to get more so. I think it's, you know, just watching a little bit this morning, you see the ball bouncing. And if you get it in the rough, you have to get lucky because it's spotty in places. I mean, it looks like a salad bar in there, and in other places you can sort of play out of it. You know, you get it right around the greens, those little short, delicate shots where you're trying to just barely bump it on the greens, it can be really, really difficult. It can sort of make you look silly or not. And I just think that's part of what the U.S. Open is designed to test and to challenge.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson looked pretty silly in his first round. He got into so much trouble, then he got out of trouble, then he got into trouble. Is that Phil? That sounds like Phil, doesn't it? But he made the cut, and now he's in 30th position starting this moving day. Amazing.
Yeah, it's been no secret that he does not love Torrey Pines South the way he used to before Reese Jones got a hold of it years ago. And I think I think he sort of came here with a negative mindset, and he pushed himself to be ready for this. And he came and worked last week at the golf course and sort of wanted to push through whatever that resistance he has had to this golf course. And he really, it could have gone bad on Thursday, kept it together and played well Friday, and just, you know, kept going. It looked like he looked at the PGA Championship, sort of that, you know, not looking to the sides, not doing a whole lot of interacting with the crowd, just very slow, methodical, patient, trusting what he's doing. And I mean, even though he hadn't won one, he knows what U.S. Open's asking, what it takes to win, and with six runners up, and you know, he needs a good day today to get himself back into the edge of contention. And yeah, I think it's one of the questions as we go into the weekend, is there such a thing as a really low round out there? We haven't seen a really low one yet.
No, and you're talking about the crowd. Noisy cell phones, apparently they don't know how to mute their phones.
Apparently, that Phil pointed that out a couple times on Thursday, so I think maybe fans are just so excited to be back out on the golf course that maybe they forgot that little mute button on the side of your phone.
Yeah, he did. I think he pointed it out while he was playing, too.
Yes.
He was not happy. Oh, and there's somebody playing this golf course this weekend, or this Saturday, at least, because it's not a perfect setup for two guys to be playing. There's an odd man out, and it's a very young man, Akshay Bhatia, who managed to rally to make the cut, I think on the number. And he's playing with the USGA's outgoing boss, Mike Davis, who used to be in charge of all the U.S. Open setups.
Yes, he's playing with Jason Gore, who's the player relations guy for the USGA, and Mike is caddying for Jason. So it's rare that the featured pairing is the first one off in the morning on Saturday, but maybe that's what happened today.
Yeah, that it was really something. Jason Gore's great, though. Akshay Bhatia is going to have a great experience. And then to see Mike Davis carrying the bag. By the way, it's not a regular tour bag, I understand.
I would imagine. Hey, I'm still your boss. Make it light.
Yeah, it's a stand-up bag. So that's great. It's just wonderful. And he looks like he's ready. He's to go. Another person who is in contention and usually is Louis Oosthuizen. And he's tied for third with, yay, I'm so excited, Matt Wolf.
Yeah. Louis is just, excuse me, I don't know if there's anybody who is more fun to just watch that golf swing and just sort of try to wish some of it onto, you know, yourself as you're watching it, just because it's so fluid and so easy and so rhythmic. And he's just, you know, he really knows how to play major championships. He's won one. He has the career runner-up Grand Slam. And, he seems to just always be there. And here he is again. Then Matt Wolf, I mean, that's been just, you know, Richard Bland is an inspiring story in his own way. And then with Matt Wolf having been away for 2 months to sort of get his mind right and to talk fairly openly about all that he's been through and sort of the mental struggles he had, sort of expecting so much of himself and knowing what others were expecting, and to come out, he said, I had absolutely no expectations. At one point, he didn't even know if he was going to play here, and then decided to play and make his comeback and didn't come here with any expectations, and suddenly he's got a chance to win. You know, in September, he finished second to Bryson, and now he's right back in it, and you know, he said, all I'm trying to do is just smile and enjoy it. That's been the biggest challenge, is to just enjoy myself on the golf course.
Yeah, and he was.
There's a lot to enjoy with the way so far.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Sorry about that. I completely stepped on you. I didn't mean to do that. Louis Oosthuizen, interesting when you say, you know, everybody loves his swing. I mean, he's got this classic swing, but even somebody as in gear, so rote is his swing, you'd think that he'd never go off. But apparently he started getting a little sloppy, not finishing his backswing. And as a result, he fixed himself by creating his own swing aid, a couple of PVC pipes with a piece of wood, and it forces him to go all the way back and touch the wood and then come back down and find. I thought that's really cool that you make your own. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, golfers are, you know, what is it? Necessity is the mother of invention or whatever.
And yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he's a farmer and all that. There have been a couple times this year, I guess it was in the team championship, when he suddenly hit the shot in the playoff to the right in the water. And when he misses it to the right a little bit. And I think that's trying to go back and solve that problem. And, I mean, to those of us who aren't fully trained like the Butch Harmons of the world, you look at Louis' swing and you think, how could anything be wrong with that?
We have somebody that I wasn't sure. You said that we weren't sure about, you know, Matt Wolf playing. John Rahm just came out of his COVID lockdown after having to withdraw. And how fast did he get from the East Coast to the West Coast and get set up to play?
Well, he was able to leave Muirfield Village after being forced to withdraw and fly home to Scottsdale. He was telling us he was in some sort of specially equipped medical ICU type plane, so he could do that and quarantined. And his 10-day quarantine got reduced to about 7 when he had 2 negative tests that sort of allowed him to go back to what he was doing. And he, felt he was a little behind with the preparation, but caught up to it. And I've just had this feeling, it may turn out to be wrong, but that maybe this is golf karma, that, you know, he won his first tour event here. He loves this city. He and his wife, he talks about, they come over about once a month from Scottsdale just to spend the weekend here. He has a club membership. He even proposed to his wife down on the hiking trail just below the golf course here. It's just a special place. And, you know, there's some funny things happen in golf sometimes. And what if 2 weeks ago, after, you know, being forced to withdraw, leading by 6 with 18 holes to go, he would have won a U.S. Open here? It could happen.
Yeah. It's John Rahm. And if he's playing, he's tied for 5th. Bubba Watson is there. You know, being on Bubba Watch is interesting because, like Matt Wolff, who was getting so down on himself, which most of us are to begin with, Bubba was trying to deal with that feeling internally, and then hearing everybody make comments about a bad shot or that's going to be an easy shot as he was trying to prepare to make the shot. He's really open, too, about what he's been going through.
Yeah. He's always been an interesting character, just the way he plays, the way he carries himself. And, he's always been very open, acknowledging that, you know, he's a jittery sort. He gets very nervous around people and in crowds. And he's got these various other sort of things he deals with. But it's interesting. A couple of us were talking this week. It feels like he's mellowed a little bit. I don't. That may be the wrong word, but I think if Bubba was, he was never polarizing, but he was a person not everybody warmed up to. I think he's a softer person, and I think some of what he's talked about has given us a little more insight into him. And he's obviously had a special career, and if you want to see golf as artistry, just watch him play, because very few players, if any of them, play like him and paint these big, giant, sweeping, curving shots that he does. And when he putts well, which is what he's done so far this week, he's right there. Now, he's at an age where, if he's going to get another one, another major, the time is ripe for it now. But, I think he's one of those guys who's probably a surprise on the leaderboard at this point, despite the fact he can hit it so far on such a long golf course. He doesn't have a great history in the U.S. Open.
I think the word you were looking for is matured.
Maybe, yes.
Yeah, it's not one that we like to think, because people always equate matured with age. Speaking of long, Bryson DeChambeau, all he wants to do is go as far as possible. That doesn't always work, because far as possible is not necessarily on the green. How's he doing?
Well, he's on the edge of contention, because you can't go a week without Bryson doing something that is sort of purely Bryson. You're probably familiar with the story. Didn't hit it well Thursday and felt a little out of sorts, and hitting drivers literally in the dark. They'd turned the lights off on the range, and he's still pounding drivers out there Thursday night and didn't find it, and said he went back home and was sort of quiet through his dinner, just thinking, and knew something was wrong, and apparently came to him in his sleep. He woke up like, hey, I think I can do this. Carried it to the golf course yesterday, and was like, I was right. Look what happened. And he's got a lot of ground to make up, but now, of course, today with Bryson could be a totally different day, but he found something, and when players find something they can hang on to and sort of focus on that one little thing, it can take you a long way. Now, he's got a lot of work to do, but he's still there. A good round today, and suddenly we've got him right in the mix. And then, of course, the whole possibility he and Brooks Koepka are very close together in score, and just imagine if that was a Sunday pairing.
Oh, my goodness. I have to say this. I completely understand why Brooks made the face he did when Bryson walked into the camera shot, because these guys are so aware of everything that's happening around them. Bryson knew the camera was on Brooks. He knew that he was about to do an interview, and he just walked, sauntered into that shot like, hi there, I'm here. He loves to be the center of attention, and nothing wrong with that. You know, they're all peacocks. So when they love the fans, it's just funny watching this whole thing play out. A real great talking to you. Ron Green, he is Global Golf Post senior writer. So good to have you on the show. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, enjoyed it. Looking forward to seeing how this weekend plays out now.
We sure are. Who do you think is going to be at the top at the end? Dare you say?
I'll tell you what, I'll take John Rahm.
There you go. John Rahm, top. Thank you. Aloha.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to come back. We've got the director of golf, Steve Murphy, over at Prince Course on Kauai, but he is also wingman for the Patriot Golf Days and Hawaii's Patriot Golf Month. It's all year long. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company. They moved to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Evaside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured, the Honolulu Sign Company is COVID compliant with all the PPE signs you need. Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Have you discovered Global Golf Post yet? Global Golf Post is the leading golf news publication in the game. It is a digital magazine. It's published very early Monday morning, delivered to your email inbox before you wake up. And in the pages of Global Golf Post, you will find all the news from the pro tours from the weekend, plus opinion and commentary from many of the best writers covering the game today. You can also read about the latest golf gear from the leading golf equipment brands. Best of all, it's absolutely free. Go to globalgolfpost.com/Hawaii to sign up for your free subscription. You'll become the most informed golfer in your regular foursome. Go to globalgolfpost.com/Hawaii. Do it today.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Steve Murphy, PGA, Aloha Section PGA, wingman for the Patriot Golf Days and Hawaii's Patriot Golf Days month, which is really all year long. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Oh, thank you, Danielle. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you.
It sounds like
Patriot Golf Day turned into Patriot Golf Month, and now I'm happy to hear it's turned into maybe Patriot Golf Year.
Yeah, well, it is in Hawaii because we have a couple of tournaments happening. One will be, I think, at Turtle Bay in September, early, but no official start date. We don't have that yet. You've heard of others, right?
Yeah, we're going to have one here on Kauai at Kiahuna Golf Club sometime in late September. We just don't have a date just yet. I'm working with a general manager over there who does have a thing for breast cancer that month as well, so we don't want to get too saturated. But, yeah, we're definitely going to have one there. And then Mackay always has their big one towards the end of the year. I want to say it's October. October. The Mackay will have another big tournament as they did not last year but the year before. Before COVID, they did a really great job. And Tom Freestone and Doug Sutter over there had a really nice event where they raised over $17,000.
Fantastic.
So that was pretty.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, I was wondering, you were holding par three contests or something like that in the past for Patriot Golf Days. This isn't new to you.
Oh, no. Well, Greg and Rick and myself being wingmen for probably since, I'd say, 2008 or 9, just after Major Dan started Fold in 07. And now we've added on new wingmen with Travis on Oahu and Garrett on Big Island, Michael Taylor on Maui, and also Tom Freestone helping me here on Kauai. We're getting more creative, it seems, each year. So this year, the committee's asked, you know, some of our members to step up and think outside the box as far as how we're going to generate funds for Folds, and it's been great. I mean, we have several golf pros on different islands doing different things. Like, for instance, just to give a couple shout-outs, we had John Harmon over on Oahu doing a tournament, raised over $3,000. You have Mark Souza and Scott Simpson at Mid-Pac. They did a nice golf clinic. So some of the pros are doing lessons to generate money for the fund. Obviously, we're happy to have you as our honorary wing person. So we're thankful of that. And then, you know, just like you got Scott Reinhart at the Dunes at Maui doing a par three contest as well. Claude Brousseau's donating funds through his personalized page with his website.
Yes.
And some of his lessons. You got Rick Casillo, who's always been a huge supporter, selling logo shirts, and Kevin Carl at YLI, doing raffles, Clark Miyazaki, also donating. And we have the guys at Coalina over there, Ryan Christensen, Kiavi Soares, and Trevor from TaylorMade, as well as Joey Sakawi from Callaway, donating almost $40,000 to the 100-hole golf marathon. So pretty impressive stuff. And I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, you know, that 100 holes, they started at dawn and they went till dark. That was an incredible, incredible day at Ko'olina. Patriot Golf Days, by the way, is now on Memorial Day. You know, it used to be Labor Day. Now it's always going to be on Memorial Day. Of course, as we mentioned at the beginning, it's being stretched out here in Hawaii, and we've got all the wingmen coming on the show to talk about what they're doing on their island, and we're kind of adding Tom Freestone will be on later on, maybe in early July, assuming that I can, you know, put him in an arm hold and make him. I just made that up. But I want to mention that Patriot Golf Days raises money for Folds of Honor, awarding then scholarships to the kids, the families, can be the spouse of those killed or wounded in military service. And then that way, that goes forward. The kids continue on their flowering into the future and becoming really important people in our community, like we want all of our kids to have an opportunity to be. And then 2 years ago, Folds of Honor and PGA of America, the PGA Hope, teamed up together. So PGA Hope stands for Helping Our Patriots Everywhere. And it's under the PGA Reach umbrella. PGA of America does so much. The charitable foundations of the PGA of America, PGA Hope introduces golf to veterans with disabilities, seen and not seen. I mean, sometimes, you know, I visited a group in Virginia, and they called themselves Blown Up. They've been blown up because of what it did to the brain. You don't see what that does. But to be close to something like an IED going off and it rattles the brain, you don't recover from that quickly. Sometimes you never do. So all of these funds that we're raising introduces golf to veterans with disabilities, seen and not seen, to enhance their physical, mental, emotional, and social well-being, reintroducing to society, which can be a very difficult step to take. So this is really important. This is what our PGA of America members in Hawaii are doing. And if you don't golf, you know, or you can't get out because your schedule just does not permit you to, go to Patriot Golf Day. That is the website, I believe, isn't it, Steve?
Yes.
And you can donate money yourself, right?
Yeah, patriotgolfdays.com, Folds of Honor, and then down to donation. And they'd be happy. And like you said, Daniel, I think people don't see some of that stuff up front. But when you're when you see it firsthand, it kind of like, for me, a button goes off and it just makes you want to do whatever you can to help these families.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you say that the serviceman or woman, they're in it, you know, and a lot of people don't realize it's not just the person who has enlisted and has their career in the military. Really, the whole family has. They're, you know, that's now their career, supporting the service person as well as the kids. You know, they didn't really sign up for this. They were born into it. And they're wonderful children and loving. And if one of their family members is, you know, if their parents, a mother or a father taken away, then anything we can do to help in even small ways, it all adds up and becomes big money. So Steve Murphy, PGA Director of Golf, Prince Course, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's my pleasure.
Okay. And you'll talk to Tom and I'll be emailing him. So our new wingman could be on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Tom will be happy to be on the show, Danielle, with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. We're going to come back. We're going to go over to talk to Barney Adams, inventor, problem solver, founder of Adams Golf, creator of Tight Lies, creator and advocate of Tee It Forward. Remember Tee It Forward? That's the brain. It came from Barney Adams, manufacturing entrepreneur of the year in 1999. Today, he is CEO of Breakthrough Golf Technology. Now, this is a new shaft, putting shaft. And we'll explain why he went into this technology for the putter, the shaft of the putter. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with Barney Adams. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Seals Electric has kept Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. High-rises, shopping and commercial centers, city and county projects. Have your project done on time, on budget, with a tradition of excellence and safety only Seals delivers. Update your facilities with the next generation of cost-saving products. We're COVID compliant. Call 842-1944. That's 842-1944. Across Hawaii, Seals Electric lights the way.
What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to HawaiiPain.com for more information. Call 452-1379. 952-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and a pole, 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
What do spalling cracks in your cement walls, floors, or ceilings have in common with termites? Both only get worse and more expensive to repair if left alone. What is the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they have repaired concrete buildings, garages, and decks, stopped the leaks. Call Richard Malmgren at 808-864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. RCM is COVID safe. Call RCM Construction, 864-9520 now.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Barney Adams, inventor, problem solver, visionary, founder of Adams Golf, creator of Tight Lies, creator and advocate of Tee It Forward. Yes, Tee It Forward came from Barney Adams. And I remember when he was pounding on the desk saying, Tee It Forward, it makes sense. And everybody's like, what in the world is that? Well, now everybody understands. Manufacturing Entrepreneur of the Year 1999, and today CEO of Breakthrough Golf Technology. Welcome into the clubhouse, Barney.
You did that just like I wrote it. Nice job.
Yeah, I try to follow the script. So you have taken on the putter shaft. Why the putter shaft?
Well, technically, it's something that basically hasn't changed in 70 years. If you think of all the improvements in golf, just year to year, much less over a long period of time. And when we looked at it, one of the things that is a factor, if you look at putter heads, I'd say going back to the old days, the bullseyes, the blades, and so on, they were much lighter than the putter heads of today because the golf course designers, the golf club designers have figured out that by adding weight to the heel and the toe, it mitigates the dispersion for off-center hits. So you have hits that are 100 to 150 grams heavier than they used to be. During that period, the steel putting shaft remained the same. Well, when you put that much extra weight into the putting stroke, what it does is it stresses the shaft very slightly and affects the ability of the putter shaft to bring the head back to the ball square. And if the head is not approaching the ball square, that's the basis for putting. If you're off there, you're off, period. So we decided that we wanted to see if we could mitigate that phenomena. Now, you can very easily by making the shaft very heavy or even much wider. But if you do it that way, there's a significant adjustment that the golfer has to make. And you get into an environment where the adjustment for the change is greater than the problem you're trying to fix in the first place. So it's a poor fix. So we had to make a shaft that didn't oscillate, but weighed the same, balanced the same, felt exactly like the steel shaft that golfers are used to, but performed better. And that took a couple of years. That was very difficult. But we managed to do it, and we now have a shaft we call Stability. And we've had it on the market for over a year now. We're a tiny little company. Nobody's heard of us. We can't afford the big advertising dollars. But we know the product is good. And as a matter of fact, for those people watching the U.S. Open today, Louis Oosthuizen is using one. And all they talk about is how well he's putted for the last month, which ironically was when he changed shafts. The bad news is you can't tell. It just looks like a black shaft. So, you know, it is what it is. But we recognize it. We know what it is. And, you know, it's kind of fun to watch him putt with it.
Yeah, sure it is. It's a thrill to watch him putt with something you've created. It's BGT, Breakthrough Golf Technology, BGD, make that T, it's contagious. Breakthrough Golf Technology, BGT, Stability Tour Putting Shaft, okay? And you heard Barding Adams talk about it extensively, about the reasons why. All of that makes perfect sense, by the way, Mr. Adams, absolutely.
Well, like I say, it is what it is. At my age, I got no business, you know, doing something that's starting from scratch again, but nobody ever accused me of being that bright anyway, so here I am.
Here you are. No, you always are thinking about, I mean, look at this. In 2020, during the U.S. Open at Winged Foot, you were already talking about getting rid of the green books, right? You were on my show. You were on my show. And you wanted to get rid of the green books. Now, what do you hear from the PGA Tour?
Well, they're talking about getting rid of them.
Yes.
I said that if I were doing green books, what I would do, it would be more of a I would call it an algorithm approach. In other words, I would say I would segment the greens and say your make percentage and say zone A is whatever it is, you know, pick a percentage. Excuse me, zone Bs and so on. So if I'm a player, I'm looking at my green book and I'm saying, okay, it tells me about the grain and all the other kind of stuff. But basically what I want to know is if I hit it on this side of the green, my chances of making a putt are now 17% less than they were if I hit it on this other side of the green. And that's how I would do green books, but they're going to be, I think they're going to ban them anyway, which is good.
Yeah, you, one of your quotes I have, or you wrote this, as an admitted TV viewer, get rid of those yardage books. Fine for practice rounds, but when the bell rings, it should be player and caddy, not an on-green conference. What's next, a staff meeting?
Right. Well, I will say I'm consistent. I haven't changed.
No,
I'd get rid of the arm lock putter too.
Oh,
because to be anchoring is anchoring. Whether you anchor it to your arm or anchor it to the back of your head or wherever you anchor it, you know, I don't think it's in the spirit of the game.
You know, Rory had something very. He didn't quite, you know, get down to it, but he certainly made it clear that that's what he's thinking about. You know, when he talks about the putting trend on the tour. And some guys are saying, you know, this doesn't feel right, but I'm going to try it anyway because everybody else is trying it.
Sure, absolutely. But now, I'll give you one that happened yesterday that you can query your listeners on, because it's only, you know, like I say, nut jobs like me that pick up on stuff like this. But Azinger, I think it was Rory, as a matter of fact, whose foot slipped and hit a bad drive. And Azinger said, you couldn't pay me to wear soft spikes in a tournament. Well, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, if people pick up on that and metal spikes come back, what's that going to do to the green conditions? Because that's been one of the great things about the soft spikes is the greens don't, you know, look like they've been in a street fight. And so on. So I'll be interested to see if anybody picks up on that or if it just kind of goes away.
Well, I hope it does. But, you know, the way the conditions are on that golf course, Torrey Pines is dried out and the greens are super fast and lots of places around the greens are super fast. So it's not really so surprising that he would slip. By the same token, you know, I don't want them to go back to those spikes for the exact same reason that you mentioned that.
I don't either. And I'm not saying his analysis was accurate, but it was pretty interesting, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. On speed of play, Barney Adams said, the minute a tee goes into the ground on number one, every player is on the clock. Stroke penalties, not fines, will get their attention. No kidding. Find me $50,000. I don't care. I just banked $10
million. Yep.
So what did
we? I haven't changed.
No, you haven't. And now, what are you? When you're talking about the new golfer to the rest of the golfing world, let's not blindly pursue the new golfer concept without considerable deeper study. What is the new golfer concept?
Well, I think it's because they're trying to appeal to, you know, a large group of people, the masses, so to speak. They're portraying it as fun.
Oh.
And golf is not fun. I think that's a misconception. Golf is extremely difficult, and as a result, it's rewarding. And it's the rewarding factor that binds people to the game. It's just, you know, I had this little thing I did for a while. Guys I played with, or if I was around the golf course, I'd say, did you play yesterday? Yeah, I did. I said, what was the best shot you hit? And inevitably, somebody there, you'd get a kind of a smile, and they'd say, well, on number six, I chopped it out of the rough, or I hit a drive, or whatever the heck it was. But they remembered that rewarding shot, and I think that's the essence of golf.
Yeah, and I'll agree with you, and I have been a proponent of having fun on the golf course for 15 years. But I've always said, if you expect too much of yourself and you get down on yourself, you're playing not to your abilities, but to some sort of expectation of what your abilities should be, then you're going to be miserable. And being on a golf course and being miserable is ridiculous. You're going to spend 5 hours and you should have, quote, fun being outdoors, enjoying the view. So don't go out there expecting to be fabulous. How much time do you practice? How much do you put into the game? That depends, you know, then you'll get rewarded for that time that you've put in. But it takes a lot of time.
It does. I give you two instances. You're watching these guys at Torrey Pines, and, you know, they're in rough up to their eyes, and they're only a foot off the green.
Yes.
And it's a downslope green. And they hit these magical shots that, you know, they get them within 2 or 3 feet, make them sometimes. Sometimes they go long. But, I mean, they're incredible golf shots. And I would maintain that the average amateur from that same exact position would average at least double bogey, maybe more.
Oh, yeah.
And because, you know, we don't practice stuff like that. That's really hard. I mean, you watch them in traps. These guys going into a trap's like having a sandwich. It's nothing to it. You know, that they're trying to make it. You know, I go into a trap, I just hope I get out alive. That's just a, you know, their level of skill because of hours and hours and hours of practice and greater ability going in are amazing.
It is. And in that case, if I'm not playing for handicap, I'd say, guys, I'm going to pick that up.
Yeah. But the clock is ticking. Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. Yeah.
I'll give you, you know, we're talking about, excuse me, my allergies. Got a pace of play. You hear every, and I know you've talked about this, you hear every so often that things are going to happen. They're going to increase the amount of golf that women play, because that's a huge audience that doesn't really participate as a percentage. It doesn't participate that much. And I maintained that it's not going to happen without very, very significant changes. Because the average woman plays a golf course that's way too long for their skill set. Number two, golf is hard enough anyway. And you're out there for, I hope it's 4 hours, but sometimes more, in the hot sun, getting your brain kicked in. Women are smarter than men. Men are dumb enough to do that, but women are saying, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do that. They'll find something else to do that's more enjoyable. And I think that's one of the reasons why, as a percentage, they don't participate.
Yeah, and, well, actually, a woman would say, you know, I can get the laundry done. I'll be done with
shopping. Come on, give me a break.
Oh, yes, indeed, indeed. Well, I always am thrilled when I get a message. BGT has another winner on the Korn Ferry Tour using the Stability Tour Shaft. And, of course, BGT is Breakthrough Golf Technology, manufacturer of the Stability Putter Shaft. On the Korn Ferry Tour, they're playing. And as you watch Louis Oosthuizen playing this weekend, I got this message not too long ago. Second place finish at PGA Championship using Stability Tour Putter. Breakthrough Golf Technology announcing that one of the second place finishers at the PGA Championship on the Ocean Course at Kiawah, yes, using the BGT Stability Tour Putter Shaft. And so this week, watching, he's using the BGT Stability Tour Putter Shaft. How do we get the stability shaft?
One thing I want to be clear about.
Yes.
If one of your listeners says, I got to get one, and they go get one, there's no guarantee that you're going to start putting better immediately. This is not one of these, try this driver out, you're going to hit the ball 25 yards further, so on and so forth. This is, it's technically better, and you will get, because we've got a lot of studies that we've done on this, your distance control will improve, which is a huge thing in putting, of course, and you will putt better, but it's not like, oh, my God, I mean, believe me, I use one, and I've had days where I putted so bad I didn't want to talk to anybody. You know, we're human beings, and that's going to happen. So I don't want to paint a false picture of what happens.
Well, I'm glad you see this. I'm talking with Barney Adams. You know, he founded Adams Golf. He created Tight Lies. He created and advocated for Tee It Forward. Manufacturing Entrepreneur of the Year in 1999, and now CEO of Breakthrough Golf Technology. He's an inventor, he's a problem solver, he's a visionary, and I thank you so much for being on the show.
So, thanks for having me on, and my friends could add to that, but it would be X'd out. So
we're a family program, Barney.
Exactly right.
I hope we talk again soon. Aloha.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Now, TalkSport. TalkSport in the UK. There are a couple of players that I think are getting a lot of people buzzed, even though they're all watching soccer, as we call it. Football, as they call it. But I think that game, that football game, is just about over. We're going to talk with Bob Bupka, who is the voice of golf, on Talk Sport after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company. They moved to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured, the Honolulu Sign Company is COVID compliant with all the PPE signs you need. Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
Want more customers?
Renovating high-rises, whatever your trade.
Fill your restaurants, buy your cars, use your realty company. Buy insurance, air condition their offices. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have quality listeners like yourself. We have ad packages that start at a few hundred dollars. Email your contact info to rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club.
On Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club.
That's rick@radiogolfclub.com.
Our listeners are consumers, too.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Just real quick, I have to put my traffic hat on. Kamehameha Highway by Pounders and Laie is open. My golf hat's back on now. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob Bupka, voice of golf for Talk Sport in the UK, host of In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and author, The Ryder Cup, golf's greatest event, released in first ebook edition by Diversion Books. And, of course, there is a foreword done by Jack Nicklaus. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Well, I'm barely surviving, Danielle, to put it. Put it bluntly, first I get word that there's going to be a football match. Who's it going to be between? England and Scotland. Are you kidding me? Over there, that's like Jack Nicklaus teeing off against Arnold Palmer. So I recover from that. I said, make sure you beef up our player. I said, who are you talking about? They said, Richard Bland. I said, who? He said, Richard Bland. 487 starts before he wins. He shows up at Torrey Pines and makes the bold statement, hey, I like the way this looks. This is my kind of golf course. Danielle Tucker, Richard Bland at 5 under par sits atop the leaderboard right now with Russell Henley. Unbelievable.
It truly is. It's the first thing that comes to mind, Cinderella story. It's hard work. He has worked hard. He won the British Masters a couple of weeks ago. He's come into his own. Some of us just do that after longer than others. It's really exciting to see him. A journeyman, would you call him a journeyman?
Well, I don't know. I would call him one very special golfer. Yes. Right now.
And, yes.
You know, the other thing I remember, Danielle, we were at the Sony Open. You and I were sitting alongside of one another in the media room. Russell Henley had just sunk the winning putt. He was coming in for his winning interview, and he was on his cell phone. But he was talking to his mother, and he didn't realize that the cell phone was on speaker. So as he comes into the media room, we hear his mother say, now, Russell, you make sure you smile more. You haven't been smiling enough. I'm saying, Russell, you're getting scolded by your mother right when you're coming to get your winning trophy for the Sony Open. Man, oh, man, how things are strange right now in the world of golf.
Well, you know, it was very good, Mom. Smile more. You just won the Sony Open in Hawaii. It's great. It's really great to see him doing so well. And I can only imagine that TalkSport wants you to focus on Richard Bland, Lee Westwood, Rory McIlroy, and Shane Lowry. Is it okay for the Irish guys to be included in your conversations with them?
Right now there's no territory that's not available to me. I mean, we got a wide open United States Open, so wide open, I can't believe it. It's almost like we flash back to when I'm working alongside of you at the Tournament of Champions, and they come rushing in. They said, quick, quick, we need a player. We're a player short on the first tee. They grab Rick. They throw a set of clubs on a caddy. Rick tees off and shoots a 5-under par round, and he's leading after 18 holes. That's what this is like.
This is true. But Richard Bland, the question, the really deep question is, would Richard Bland come to the Century Tournament of Champions if he won the U.S. Open?
Here's the promise I'll make to you, Danielle. I'll get in contact with Richard Bland right now. And my question would be, Richard, what about the Tournament of Champions? I need you to come and be in person on the Daniel Tucker Golf Show. The response will be, Bob, I'll swim there.
Oh, you're so wonderful. Richard Bland, I'm so excited to have you on the show anytime, Bob Bupka, thank you so much for making it possible for me to have Richard Bland on the show. Look, Ben Crenshaw says good morning to me every Saturday, and that's because of you, Bob Bupka. You are the power behind the game of golf.
No. You're doing one great job with your golf show. Every week it gets bigger and better, and you certainly deserve a lot of credit. And honestly speaking, it's a real pleasure for me to be able to sit down alongside of you and talk some golf.
Let's talk about the lone Akshay Bhatia, who finds out he's going to be playing with the very experienced Jason Gore. Now, Akshay turned pro at 17. It's been a couple of years. And now he's in the U.S. Open, and he's going to be playing with Jason Gore, very experienced. And on the bag for Gore is USGA's outgoing boss and who used to do all of the U.S. Open setups, Mike Davis.
Yeah, I mean, you write that stuff, nobody would believe it. And ironically enough, Jason Gore, back when it was at Pinehurst, after two rounds, Jason Gore was in great position. He shows up for his third round, and he was very unaccustomed to having so many people wanting his autograph. He couldn't resist. He signed and signed and signed. And then finally he realized he was getting late for his third round tee time, ends up shooting a very high number, mainly because he was trying to be very nice to the golf fans that were cheering on Jason Gore. That's what an outstanding individual he really is.
Wow. Bob, I don't think there's any, I could say any name from the tours and you would have a personal story about them. You have a mind that you just, I don't know how you do it. You remember everything. You have recall on everything, all these very personal stories. And I got to ask you, here's the bridesmaid, Phil Mickelson, right? Wins the PGA Championship. Here he is at the U.S. Open. He's come in second six times. He could have his career grand slam if he pulls this week off. Had a lot of trouble the first day. got into, you know, sort of contention. He's 30th going into today's moving day. What do you see for Phil?
You know, Danielle, at this juncture, if you were to tell me Phil Mickelson would be the second biggest story to Richard Bland, I would pick up the revolver alongside of me and shoot myself because I would say, man, I've lost contact with reality. I mean, Bland, a bigger story than Mickelson at this juncture. Just I have to do it because I do it on Talk Sport all the time. And when it's of this magnitude, I give it one of these, good golly, Miss Molly.
Well, Richard Bland is, one heck of a guy. He's been playing in tournaments. He's 48. He's played 478 tournaments in his career. He just won his first on the European Tour. His first. And that was the British Masters. No victories, of course, in the U.S. So this would be one heck of a way to introduce himself. Hi, my name is Richard Bland, and I am your U.S. Open champion. Thank you for being on the show, Bob. You're so much fun to talk with.
My pleasure. Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. You're going to come back. We've got Jeff Babineau. He works for Clubs Help. I love Clubs Help. He writes for PGA.com, PGA of America, Morning Read. He's covered over 100 major championships. I bet you he's hung out with Bob Bupka a couple of times. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
This is Little Mike, and that was 18 years ago. It's never too late to call my dad. Rainer Overhead Doors, 676-3667.
KORL, YNI, Honolulu, and Sioux Electric has kept Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. They've done high-rises, shopping, commercial centers. They've done major projects for the state, for the city. So if you want your project done right, on time, on budget, it's Sioux Electric. And their number is 842-1944, extension 23. 842-1944, extension 23. Please call them. My name is Danielle Tucker, and we'll be back right after this. What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to HawaiiPain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
Seals Electric has kept Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. High-rises, shopping and commercial centers, city and county projects. Have your project done on time, on budget, with a tradition of excellence and safety only Seals delivers. Update your facilities with the next generation of cost-saving products. We're COVID compliant. Call 842-1944. That's 842-1944. Across Hawaii, Seals Electric lights the way.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
The golf club tip number 47. When mad about your slice, don't hit the tree with your driver. Break it over your knee. Now back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
And we are back at Torrey Pines. It is the U.S. Open. It is the same course where you watched. Maybe you didn't, but you've heard about it. Tiger Woods. And this is what the plaque says. Playing on a fractured leg, Tiger Woods sank a 12-foot birdie putt on the 72nd hole to force a playoff with Rocco Mediate. Woods defeated Mediate in 19 holes the following day to win his third U.S. Open. Now, Jeff Babineau, who's covered over 100 major championships, works for Clubs Help, writes for PGA.com, that's the PGA of America, and Morning Read. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jeff.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, let's see. Were you there when Tiger did that?
I was there, and it was a really interesting major for me because I was a college classmate of Rocco Mediate. So it was really interesting. I kind of wanted to see Rocco get his U.S. Open. You know, he had his just a magical week that week. And every time I see that putt that Tiger makes on the 72nd hole, I think it's not going to go in, but it always does. So it was quite a week.
I always think it's not going to go in, but it always does. Funny how that is. Rocco was so charming in an interview when he described it. It was like he couldn't believe that he was in the place he was and potentially beating Tiger Woods. And by the same token, he seemed to think that it was inevitable that Tiger was going to win. Did you get that sense?
Yeah, I mean, he woke up on that Monday morning thinking Rocco thought he was going to win because he thought he was playing better golf at the time. And, he knew Tiger was injured and was, certainly ailing with a bad leg, which we would find out later would be a lot more serious than we ever knew. But Rocco was pretty confident. And I loved the fact that he loved the challenge that it was Tiger Woods he had to take down. If he was going to win a U.S. Open, he had to get by Tiger Woods in an 18-hole playoff. He ended up going 19, and that's the guy he wanted. He wanted to beat the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, would you have expected Richard Bland and Russell Henley to be leading after day two?
No, I would not. They weren't high on my office pool. But I love it. I love that the U.S. Open gives us these stories, the qualifiers that get in there. Richard Bland, he reminds me of, I'm in Orlando. We had a guy years ago, Brad Bryant, who played in nearly 500 PGA Tour events before he got his first win. And you just wonder what it was like to play that long and be out there all those years without ever winning. And that was Richard Bland in Europe, and he just broke through. Obviously, he had some great feelings going. He played great yesterday, 7 birdies, and I love that we get those stories at the U.S. Open. It's kind of like, maybe a little bit of Rocco Mediate 13 years later.
Yeah. I mean, 478 tournaments to play in at the age of 48, now finds himself leading at the U.S. Open after winning his first European Tour title. the British Masters. It's interesting that he would be, you know, be contending in these big tournaments.
He's almost 50. I think it's only his fourth major championship start. He's basically making about one a decade. And for him to go there, he liked the course the minute he walked on it, even though it's really long. You know, he's 48 years old. He just thought it was one of those golf courses that was right there in front of him. Had a good feeling, and he was he certainly played well yesterday. So it's kind of cool that he'll play, have a late afternoon tee time today. And, you know, here on the East Coast, we'll be watching him in prime time. I think that's kind of neat.
It is. It's fantastic. And Russell Henley being back, so to speak. I mean, he wasn't doing well until this year, from what I can see, you know, tied for third into the Honda Classic and the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek. And then Zozo at Sherwood finished T4. So he's done really well, and he's always had a good game. He was, when we watched him here at Sony, you know, he was great. He was a great player. It's a small course compared to what Torrey is. So how is Russell Henley going around this course? He doesn't have the long game, does he?
No, he doesn't have the long game. He really had a perfect round going yesterday until he missed the three-footer at the last hole. And no bogeys on his card, which is amazing on a U.S. Open venue. But I think he's one of those guys. He's in his early 30s. You know, he's been a good player since he was at the University of Georgia. You know, he's always been a solid player. But he's just kind of coming into his own a little bit and kind of feeling more of a sense of belonging and, hey, I don't want to be out here just finishing T20th every week. I want to get in there and contend and win some big titles. And he's won three times. He's never done much at all at a major championship, but he's kind of got that grinder mentality that should fit well at a U.S. Open. You know, pars are good. They're great. Make a lot of them, and you'll hang in there. So, you know, so far, so good for Russell Henley.
Yeah, and I think it was Russell Henley who said this. It was one of the guys interviewed, you know, on Golf Channel's Live From, and he said, you know, I had to get into playing my game, and if on a physical level, you know, because everybody's in the gym now, he had to figure out what the best was for him, for his body, on a physical level.
Ed, please.
And that's,
yeah, I mean, I think, I'm sorry.
There was, I don't know where that came from.
I heard that. I think when you're out there long enough on the PGA Tour, you start to forget about chasing things you're not going to be. You know, he's never going to be a bomber like Bryson DeChambeau, and he might not be the best putter out there, but he's a good putter. But I think you kind of figure out what your strengths are and try to play to those. Figure out, you know, like you say, he played well at Sony, won at Sony. Maybe he's a great fit for a couple of shorter courses on the PGA Tour, things like that, the Colonials and, you know, the RBC Heritage at Harbortown, things like that. You kind of figure out your strengths and play to those. And, you know, you can kind of get wiser in your 30s out there. And I think he's one of those guys that's doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting wiser. It's really, you know, I've always been a Matt Wolf fan. There's just something about the kid that makes, I love his swing. I guess it's his swing, you know, because it's so play your own swing. Kind of, you know, Arnold Palmer. Yeah, he followed his advice. And to see him back and smiling is refreshing.
Yeah, you know, I think we forget all the pressures that come with these athletes. We've seen it, right, what's going on in women's tennis right now. We've seen it a little bit with Lexi Thompson. I mean, these high expectations. Matt Wolf comes out there and he wins early, and he was a world beater at Oklahoma State, and it's great. You know, you sign these big endorsements, and you're going to make millions and have houses all over the place. But there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. You know, it's not all fun, and it's kind of sad when you read that he was feeling miserable playing the Masters this year. I mean, who would go to Augusta National and feel miserable at 22 years old? So he obviously was feeling some weight. I think talking about some of his issues has helped him. The guy right next to him on the leaderboard, Bubba Watson, he's gone through issues like that in the past, and I think talking about them and you know, being an introvert and being in this big fishbowl, I think talking about that helps. So to me, Matthew Wolff's been really the story of this U.S. Open, having not played for a couple months and being right there in the thick of it.
Yeah, it's great. And when he said, you know, I didn't play good on the first round. I you know, he had bogeys, and then he had birdies, and then he had bogeys. And he wasn't, but he said I had fun, and I understood what he meant. He wasn't, you know, golf isn't fun; it's hard, as someone, Barney Adams, pointed out. But it has to be on a certain level. There's got to be some joy in the game, and when there's no joy left in your soul, then it's. There's no, I mean, then it'll kill you. And to see him smiling, regardless of, you know, he did his best. He put it out there, and he was glad to see what he saw. And that made me feel really good and really happy. And John Rahm, you know, John Rahm being back, and he's contending after being in forced isolation. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he's my guy this weekend. I think John Rahm's going to win. He's just kind of been plodding along, just making, you know, mistake-free golf, pretty conservative. And I think he's going to have a stretch where he just kind of turns it on and takes over here. That's what I'm expecting. Maybe him or maybe Xander's that guy. But I love John Rahm's game. I love the way he's maturing in front of us. You know, he ran hot a lot of times out on the golf course as a Matthew Wolff would. I think you have to realize how to channel that in the right way. Justin Thomas was a lot like that. So I think John Rahm's kind of learned that a little bit. He channels it now in a positive way, and he's just a fabulous player. And he's got some really good feelings at this golf course. It's been special to him, so it could be really special this weekend.
Great. I you know, with his wife, absolutely. Now, Jordan Spieth made the cut on the number, yay. The Molinari brothers, both of them, made the cut, yay. Colin Morikawa had a tough first round, and he made the cut. He's doing quite well. I was surprised to see him have the difficulties that he had, given his ability to use those irons. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I was with you. It was kind of interesting to see him play the way he did that first day. He really struggled. And I thought yesterday he was one of the more impressive players out there, battling back the even par. You know, it's not easy to do out there. And you're going to get yourself there to be in position for the weekend. And he's the kind of guy, as you mentioned, he's such a great iron player. If he's driving it well and hitting those irons, he's the kind of guy who can reel out some birdies on any golf course. So you get himself right back in the mix. You know, with him, I think it's always a question of how well he putts. He's always going to give himself chances, and it's a matter of how many of those he converts. So he was doing it yesterday, and if he gets hot with the putter again today and into tomorrow, he certainly should be somewhere around the mix.
Yeah, I think so, too. And now let's go to the two guys, okay? The defending champion, Brooks Koepka, and the guy who was the defending champion from the year before, Bryson. Oh, excuse me. Let me change that around. The defending champion, Bryson DeChambeau. And the guy who was defending the year before, Brooks Koepka. These two guys. What's up with these two guys? Is this all for...
What's up? Yeah, what's up with these guys, right? Can't they all get along? I don't know. I don't know. I'm probably more old school than me. My kids love it. Yeah, you know, that's what they want to know about every day. What's going on with Bryson and Brooks? I'm more old school and tradition and the gentleman aspect of pro golf. So I wonder, you know, I know it's put Steve Stricker in a little bit of an uncomfortable place. He doesn't really know what's going on with these two, and he's got to figure that out before they both are teammates at the Ryder Cup. So, you know, I'm kind of glad we didn't get the pairing this week, which would have been quite a sideshow. And we'll see. They're both great players. I think they'll sort it out. And, but right now it seems like that's what all the fans want to see. They want to see Bryson and Brooks kind of go head-to-head and battle it out.
As long as it doesn't turn into some sort of WWE, you know, wrestling match, that would be wonderful. That's the big thing, you know, how how they handle it, and if they're doing it for just the publicity to, you know, bring eyeballs, young eyeballs to the game to get that big $40 million reward for doing that. Is that what the reward is for bringing eyeballs to the game? Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it, right? Bringing attention. I think, you know, Brooks wasn't even playing the last few weeks, and he's on every headline you read about in golf. So who knows? Maybe maybe it's all part of a grander plan.
A grander plan. one final note. You know, you're going for Rahm. Is any part of you pulling for Phil Mickelson to win so he can have his career Grand Slam?
Oh, sure. You know, I was at the PGA. I thought it was amazing, you know, for Phil to win a major at almost 51, but to win there, I just kept on Sunday. I just kind of kept waiting for Phil to hit a foul ball or two, and there goes the dream. But it never happened. He just kept playing so well. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him play really well today to at least wake up on Sunday with a chance, right? I mean, that's what we all want. That's the one that's eluded him. And when you've won six runner-up medals at the U.S. Open, I think it makes you a great U.S. Open player, even if you never won it. So I consider him a great U.S. Open player, and I hope he kind of throws himself in there late on Sunday. That would be fun.
That would be fantastic. Eyeballs would definitely be on the set. Finally, I just thought of something. You know, Akshay Bhatia is playing with Jason Gore. Jason had to play because Akshay would be all by himself. Don't you think Mike Davis should be the one doing that honor of playing, and Jason should
doing
be
playing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have played an alternate shot or something. Yeah.
No. I think Mike Davis should have to play his own U.S. Open setups.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of players who would have followed that group. They looked like they had a lot of fun. As we went on right now, I saw those two were getting interviewed, and there was a lot of laughing going on. So I think they had a good day. What a cool experience for Mike Davis on his way out the door there at the USGA to be able to do that and be inside the ropes on a weekend. I respect Mike Davis and the job he's done, and Jason Gore is a fun guy, California kid, so for him to get in there and play, too, had to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely, and there's got to be some of that in everything in life. I really appreciate it. We're going to talk again next weekend. You're going to be, we've got major champions. I can't keep up with this. Major.
I got it. Yeah, every week, right? Yeah.
Yes. KPMG Women's PGA is going to be next weekend, and I can't wait to talk to you.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Thank you so much.
Another great championship. So yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Aloha. And I want to thank everyone for supporting the golf club. Sioux Electric. Keeping Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. High-rises, shopping, commercial centers have your project done right, on time, on budget. It's Sioux Electric. Believe me, these guys don't mess around. I watch them do the electrical systems in our place, and they're just amazing. They just come in, do the job. They're not trying to stretch things out. They got work to do. Sioux Electric, lighting the way. Their number is 842-1944. 842-1944, extension 23. Aloha Power Equipment moving sales continuing until the store is empty, because they put power at your fingertips, and they've got a really exciting surprise. And I don't know exactly when that'll be, but we'll let you know, of course. And what they have is the most fantastic selection of power. The Honda mower, for instance, on sale, Sand Island and Waipahu stores, until the store is empty, because who wants to move everything over? Honolulu Sign, they do exterior building signs, real estate and lighting signs, parking signs and interior signs, signs of all kinds. PPE signs, yeah, they've got them. And, you know, maybe we'll be able to phase those out pretty soon. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something if you could just wish away things like the pandemic or a fire or a flood that's just come and take over your house? Well, MD Restoration, if a flood or fire just attacks, you need help right away, 24/7. And MD Restoration is available 24/7 when disaster, hopefully it doesn't, strikes. Their number is 528-3434. And finally, Global Golf Post, a leading golf publication and the first digital golf magazine ever, has a great gift for the procrastinator in all of us. This is for all the dads who don't like all the advertising that they have to deal with. Go to globalgolfpost.com/day or make that hyphen. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.